Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, Ruthie, how are you doing for a quirk this week? Because we're a total
lack of... Don't really have any quirk.
No quirk again. That's 2 weeks running, a total lack of quirk. I'll tell you another joke, which isn't one of mine again. So
okay,
feel
on.
Free to laugh. This is...
I don't laugh at your jokes.
Because you did, we did all that last week. There's an American comedian called Dimitri Martin, who I saw on... He was on that James Corden chat show in the States. And he said... I worry a little that sometimes I tend to overthink things. Or do I, though? It got big laughs on the James Corden show.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
It's mildly amusing, isn't it?
Funny-ish.
Should we start?
Yeah, let's.
It's episode 33 of Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
The Age Jesus Died.
Really, 33?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same age? Is that like Kurt Cobain and all those people?
No, that's 27.
27 is
27 the, Club.
It's
like Amy Winehouse
club.
And Kurt Cobain. And 27 is
27,
the club.
27
33
is, the club.
Is Jesus.
His club on his own, isn't he, in many ways?
Well, so, no, he started a big club.
A big, big club, isn't it? Major club. Now, you're getting used to speaking English again because you were just saying today you're doing quite well with the English now because you've mm-hmm. been sort of speaking French for most of the past week. We've had a lovely little French girl staying with us all week. She's mm-hmm. gone back today.
Yeah, she's left.
She's left, yes. And it was interesting, you noticed I was speaking a bit of French to her.
Just random words in the middle of sentences.
Well, yes,
mostly.
But when I was asking her if she's ready to eat, I would say prête à manger. So that's a really good French expression. Prête à manger, I read this morning, has put some pork sausage in their vegetarian breakfast.
I've never had it.
No, well, this was by a mistake. An office worker said she tucked into what she thought was a veggie pot, only to find it contained pork sausages, a little bit of extra flavour for
them. They're gross, though. Have you seen those pots?
No, I haven't.
They're just like all the stuff that you would have in like a breakfast, but they're like, it's like shoved into a pot. It's not my thing. I don't like any of my foods to touch my other foods, ideally.
No, I've noticed, Ruth. And that's another thing I noticed about, if we're looking at differences between the French and the British, with your friend who came all the way from France and stayed with us and has been eating with us for the past week, not fussy about her food like you are.
No, none of the French are fussy.
No, she had everything was put on a plate and she almost cleaned the plate, whatever it was on the plate. And
no, none of the French are ever
and
fussy.
And if you offered her more, she said, yes, please, I'll have more.
Yeah.
Something I want to take up with you, Ruth. You failed to warn me about downsizing. I said,
oh, the film?
The film, yes. I was watching, I saw it on Sky, and I thought, oh, downsizing, I've never seen that. So Matt Damon in this film, I thought, oh, this looks quite intriguing, shrinking these people down to 5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realise it was just going to collapse and get so amazingly pretentious when they went to Norway. And you
yeah,
just
it
got,
gets, it's
but you
really
didn't say
good
you said
premise.
It's a good film. You should
no, it's
said,
quite good. No, it's good to watch, and it was interesting.
It's good to watch,
but it does get weird.
Hour. Oh, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. I suspect that at some point they looked at it and they thought, wow, we better edit this a bit, whatever. And because of all the editing and because of the way they restructured things, it ended up making no sense whatsoever.
Mm-mm. The character of the Vietnamese cleaner is very weird as well.
Very weird.
It's like almost a comedy character, and then it's not, and it's weird. But... Good premise.
Well, you should have said to me, good premise, but don't bother with it because it just goes completely off the rails. Like so many films do. The premise that's written down on the back of a fag packet is okay, but then the film just completely loses its way.
So I've got another thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Circle. I don't know whether anyone's been watching it, but we said a week ago that it is really great premise and stuff, but just has turned into another kind of Big Brother boring reality TV show.
But people
show.
Are talking about but it now. Yeah.
This is what I move on to. So I've watched the whole series. I've watched all the episodes, and it's really, really good.
Why? What
and
respect?
It just gets much better. So it's slowly become more popular.
And Alex won it.
Alex, but who was playing Kate? Alex was the one who was the major catfish in the whole thing.
Catfish? What's catfish?
Catfish, someone who's pretending to be someone else online.
All right. Is that a well-known expression for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex, who was the sort of main culprit of catfishing, was the one who actually ultimately ended up winning it. I don't know what made it so much better. I guess just that the people were nice. It was...
The people just seemed to be the same as the usual.
They weren't at all.
The first episode that I watched with you...
So this is what I'm saying. The first episodes were... The first three episodes, at least, were very just like watching TOWIE or Big Brother or something. But as it went on, you realised that these people were slightly different. And as people came in and got voted out and they voted on people's popularity, and it wasn't a public... vote, which I think is good. I think that...
Oh, it wasn't a public vote, so people weren't voted out?
No, so the other people in the circle voted the others out. You had to do a rating of their popularity, like, oh, how much you liked them or whatever. What was
and
it
purely
called?
You were judging how you liked them on what they'd put on the internet, on the circle.
But you could also chat with people within the circle. So basically, however they wanted to portray themselves, which is obviously a really interesting idea in the modern... world and stuff. And but so Catfish won, and I was reading in The Guardian, maybe
The Guardian, yeah,
and it was saying yes, a catfish won, but the circle shows nice people can prosper on TV. And then Alex, who was the catfish who won
£75,000 or something,
yeah, so he won $50,000, which is the prize money that they all were trying to play for, and then he also won an extra $25,000, which the public got to vote for someone to win.
Right,
that was the only part of public voting in it.
See, what I heard about it was that this particular series wasn't that brilliant, but because people are now finding even people who didn't watch it are now finding the premise quite intriguing, the next series will be a big success.
Well, a lot of people were saying it's kind of a bit like Love Island, but just a bit higher brow. The start of it, you were like, this is rubbish, this is just a bunch of people shouting at their TV, like their TV screens, not interesting. But as it went on, it got a bit more gritty, it was better and better. And the character of Alex, who ultimately won it, who was like this really, really nice guy who kind of set out to prove I can be the most popular person. He was a really great character, and also the way he felt guilty about being a catfish. And they also wrote, like, real catfishers set out to humiliate and dominate, exploiting victims for kicks. In the circle, they set out to win some cash, sure, but also not explicitly to fool, but rather to experiment with or escape social labels. In the finale, I think what... to me made it almost uneasy but also more interesting was that the catfish won, and not only because the other people in the circle had voted for him, her, but also because the public had voted for her for extra, knowing that she was a catfish. And they wrote in, I think it was the I, what I took was from the finale was that we had been played just as much as Dan, who was the main victim of the catfishing. It was a weird and easy ending to the series, and I think that's entirely to the circle's credit, and I think that's what will make them get a second series. And they've also been in talks with like Netflix and stuff, so... Yeah. I think it'll get more interesting.
And I've got a new word now, catfish, which I never knew before. As you mentioned television, Ruthie, I'm reluctant to go back to Bodyguard, but there's a fair amount of controversy over the fact that I know you didn't watch Bodyguard, you saw bits of it, but, you know, weren't familiar with it. But in Bodyguard, all the major high positions, like the Home Secretary, the Chief of Police, even some of the police snipers and so on, they're all played by women. The point I was about to make is, people seem to sort of want it two ways. So now you've got these people who are in top positions who are women, And Daisy Goodwin, who wrote Victoria, remember, which we enjoyed mm-hmm. so much, Daisy Goodwin is now saying, well, it's not really realistic. Well, she's right. It's not really realistic. So she's claiming that the BBC is sort of, if you like, airbrushing the situation, which makes it unreal. You know, if you watch Bodyguard, you would think, oh, women are doing all right. They're in all these top positions. So
yeah, it doesn't solve anything.
But you can't have it both ways because you need the role models.
But the balance needs to be there still. Yeah, it shouldn't be just a token effort.
Difficult, though, for the BBC or anybody who's putting on a drama on TV.
But just have, like, 50% of the high-powered jobs as women.
There you go, a bit of advice for you at the BBC. Now, you've enlightened me on what catfish is. Something else you might...
Catfishing.
Catfishing, yes. Something else you might be able to enlighten me on is autonomous sensory meridian response. What is it?
ASMR.
ASMR, it's usually called,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's mostly, I think it's just really people making videos usually, but there are also some like podcasts, I think, and stuff, of doing like things that sound really nice and it's always really soft. So it might be like whispering or it might be like... playing with something in your hands or something like that, and it and gives just, people like a tingling sensation, like
yes,
a good,
I'd heard that.
Like a good tingle, not like a bad one.
Yeah, but I don't see how it does. I mean,
it doesn't to me. I mean, if you listen to it,
no, I just read.
Do you want me to do it now?
Oh, can you do it? Go on then.
Well, so it'd be something like this, and then you'd just talk right into the mic. I don't know whether it's like a rude thing. I don't think it is.
No,
is
it's
it?
Not a rude thing at all. Not according to what I've read.
I've listened to some of it.
It's people doing sort of odd tasks, like folding sheets or...
Yeah, that as well.
Margot Robbie spreading Vegemite.
Yeah. But personally, when I listen to it, I just find it boring. Yeah. But some people, it really helps them sleep or relax.
See, when we could virtually do the same thing here.
Yeah, we can do... You have to be really close to it, though, so that you can hear the...
It would be irritating, I should think, rather than relaxing. But what I'm saying, if we just kept quiet and we could just hear the buzz of a mic, if we could hear the buzz in the background, in this suburban sunny afternoon, we can, from time to time, we hear hedge trimmers going.
Yeah, but no, we've said most likely is a lawnmower or something, but also could be a murderer on the loose. A chainsaw.
Yeah, we can just about.
It's coming up to Halloween as well.
Yeah. Now, you've got some feminist stuff, so we'll move on to that.
Feminist stuff.
Well, we'll do the feminist stuff in a minute. We'll just do the emails.
See, this is what happens. They always say they'll get to the feminist stuff later, but they never do.
We will. Just look at some of the emails. You were saying last week about our demographic, largely mm-hmm. male. Immediately, as a response, Jennifer Pawley got in touch with us. Unless somebody...
A female
email. Unless it's somebody catfishing. She says, hello from Prince Edward Island, Canada, which is an actual island.
Oh.
Yeah, and two smaller islands. It's sort of northeast of Canada.
Wow, you know a lot about Prince Edward Island, Dad. Is there some reason why you know all this?
Dr. Google gave me a little bit of help.
Oh,
on that.
Did he?
She's thoroughly enjoying the podcast and says, keep up the hard work and healthy debates. Not that she'd call that a particularly healthy debate. David Sharrett says, another crony. I know you complain about my cronies, but he says it won't be long until Ruth has her own cronies, judging by the last two episodes, which were bang on. Bang on.
The ones before the last two just don't even bother.
Yeah, as for the one after. Ruth's take on the Bible and transgender guide leaders juxtaposed with a fast food debate was refreshing.
I don't remember what I said about the Bible.
No, I don't remember either. He said, I know it's not a request show, but what about 20 seconds of talking heads? We're ahead of him. We did 20 seconds
of talking heads. Yeah, we did. If you'd have listened to more than just the last two... You know.
Amazing music, he says, talking heads. I agree with you on that. And it's not the Beatles or Sainsbury's Basics. And he says the Twitter video promos are a treat. Keep them coming. So he likes, I know you're not keen on doing them that much.
No, but, I hate them.
But they're good. They look good. And Barry from North Wales says, I consider your podcast to be purely educational. He says it's like entering a new world. I'd place myself somewhere in between your ages, and as such, previously, I didn't know what a Kardashian was, and now I'm keeping up with them.
somewhere in between our two ages and didn't know what a Kardashian was.
Well, he says, I thought Love Island was some kind of seedy holiday resort. As it turns out, I was right. And he says, I know now that when I say less, I need to take a step back and consider whether the word I'm actually looking for is fewer. I now know that if anybody offers a different perspective to mine on any situation, I can respond with three little words. I could just respond with the words, ah, you say that. And it was one of my catchphrases, isn't it?
Is that your catchphrase?
Yeah, you say that.
Oh.
When you come up with something, I say, yeah, you say that.
Which, I didn't realise you said that.
Well, he spotted it. But there we go. Cool, but he spotted it. I now know that generations are either being labelled or indeed labelling themselves with tags such as millennials or Generation X. How stupid I feel, having never previously identified with my generational code.
Oh.
He hasn't got a generational code.
No, he'll be Generation X.
Ant and Dec and Ed Miliband. Let's do that feminist thing you had.
Just throws it off to... Let's do that feminist thing. Right. A book came out this week called Feminists Don't Wear Pink and Other Lies, and it's got a lot of traction. Have you heard of it? It's like a culmination of lots of different essays and stories and little bits. What did I say?
Culmination.
It's a culmination of a lot of people's hard work.
It is. You can be a
I was getting there.
Were you?
And the bit that I focused on, not focused on, I've not read it, I've not got the book, is Keira Knightley's story about childbirth. So it's the actor's blood and vomit-soaked description of giving birth in the book will be familiar to any, but is being buried by accusations that she is trying to shame other women, especially the Duchess of Cambridge, Kate Middleton.
Right.
Because she says that it was wrong for her... Well, not she didn't say it was wrong, but she says that it sets
gives a wrong impression.
It sets an... Yeah. What's the word? Unachievable precedent for her to come out with lipstick on and high heels. She wasn't...
This is
she's
soon
not,
after giving birth.
Yeah, like it was like 4 hours, wasn't it? And she didn't have a problem with someone putting on lipstick or whatever afterwards, because that would be anti-feminist in itself. But she has a problem with the expectation that that's how you should look, I think is what she was saying. And just the idea that she says hours after you've been physically torn apart, you're expected to walk out and look perfect and have all the happy, warm feelings of motherhood. And she says it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not sure that people take it that take it that seriously.
Well, I think...
Yeah, people know that she's a royal, and I think women do. Oh, I'm not sure they do.
No, the idea that you should be happy after you've had a baby.
The idea you should be happy. Now, that's a different thing. That is, we're talking about a psychological thing there. But when you see the, you know, I don't think, put it this way, I don't think the Duchess of Cambridge can be blamed for that. I think it's a different thing.
That's the whole point, is that she's not trying to shame other women, but... She just was criticising how other people looked at it. That's why it's been unfair to Keira Knightley's article, because it's been buried by the fact that people think she's trying to shame women when that's the opposite of what she's doing.
No, I'm not saying she's trying to shame women. What I'm saying is that...
But she's not being judgmental either. She was just... All she was saying was how it made her feel.
But, you know, once you've brought up the example of the Duchess of Cambridge... You're obviously that's what the press are going to see us on, because that's, you know, that's the publicity. And people, when they see the Duchess of Cambridge come out with the, you know hair beautifully done and lipstick on, they know she will have makeup people and hairstylists, etc.
I think also
the Royal Family is a show, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a show.
But I think also that she was talking about how she was like blood and vomit and amniotic fluid everywhere and stuff, and she had a particularly traumatic birth, which a lot of women do have, really like awful horrific stories where they have post-traumatic stress disorder and stuff, that when people ask you about what it was like to have a baby, you're not meant to say any of that stuff. You're just meant to say, oh my gosh, I just love my baby so much.
You're
meant to forget about all the pain because of how great the baby is, but that's not fair, because you can't ask women to just forget about pain.
No, but there again, I would have thought that just for your own psychological well-being, you don't want to just keep going on about the blood.
For your mental health, you should definitely not talk about things.
Well, no, for your mental health, you're probably better off accentuating the positive. I think by and large, your mental health is
really
healthy. Yeah, I would have said
to just push things down and not mention them.
Not necessarily
them.
Push things down, but...
Well, yeah, because that's how people... That's when people end up with really terrible post-traumatic stress disorders, when they don't...
Well, again, like, there's probably probably a balance. There's probably a balance.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
I'm inclined, in a way,
but straight after you've given birth, to be expected to just say how great it was and not mention any of the bad stuff.
Well, speaking of someone married to someone who's had 4 children, I don't think that was the expectation. You know, I remember...
I don't think you can really know, though. Unless you're someone who's either given birth or... is about to give
birth. Obviously you can't know exactly what childbirth is like, but I know that the overwhelming feeling of your mum was knackered, you know, absolutely knackered, and it was a real ordeal. And I don't think, I think you're being very, I think if you're a bloke and somebody says, and you're asked what childbirth was like, or what you thought your wife's impression of childbirth was, you'd say absolutely knackering, you know. Most guys are sort of like saying, can't understand how anybody can give birth because it's such a difficult thing to do. And if you're there at the births, as I was, you'll know exactly how overwhelming and how knackering it is. Precisely. Gross. So you'll know how, you know all about blood and vomit and amniotic fluid. So I don't think we need to be told by Keira Knightley. Yes, she's an actress. And actresses than it is for anyone else.
No, that is not what she's saying at all. And it's unfair to put that on her. What all she was doing is from a position where she can contribute to a book and she can say her opinions for other women to look at it and be like, oh, maybe I'm allowed to say that actually it was really hellishly awful.
And nobody's the slightest bit surprised if they've ever...
Yeah, but how often do you hear people talk about childbirth in the public eye? All she's doing is the same thing that Kate Middleton did when she walked out.
Let's take a short break and then we'll do the music.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've brought a bit of a golden oldie for you this week. When I say it's golden oldie, I'm playing this to...
He's just brought himself a golden oldie.
Yep, I'm playing this because it's the 100th anniversary coming up of...
The war?
Yeah, which war?
The 1919... First World War.
First World War. It's the 100th anniversary of Armistice Day coming up next month. Mm-hmm. So this song was written in 1915. Became a hit not during the First World War, but during the Second World War. And the interesting thing about it is it's a German song.
And, oh, my God.
The British troops, it was a hit with the Germans, but then the British, this is, I'm talking about 1942.
Wow.
It was a hit with the Germans, and then the British troops adopted it, and it became a hit with the British troops.
You're not
as well.
Really meant to say, like, Germany when you're talking about a world war. It's kind of like Voldemort. You know, where you have to be like, the one who shall not be named, or like, you know who.
Right, well, you know who. I think that's only for Hitler, isn't it? For the actual troops.
No, the whole of Germany.
The whole of Germany, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know who adopted this first, because it is a German song, and then it was taken up by the British troops. So let's have a listen.
Vor der Kaserne, vor dem großen Tor, steht eine Laterne und steht sie noch davor. Dort wollen wir uns wiedersehen, bei der Laterne wollen wir stehen, wie einst Lili Marleen.
Who's Lili Marleen?
Well, I'll tell you if you want. It was sung by... You don't want to hear it.
No, no one ever goes, I'll tell you if you want, and then the other person just goes, nah, nah.
It was Marlene Dietrich singing there, fine film star.
That was a woman singing?
Yeah, that was Marlene Dietrich.
She sounds so mannish. It's probably just the German there.
Yeah, well, it's, we don't do a lot of stuff in the German language, but that was that's a, just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant song. It was a love song. Became it was written in 1915, published in 1937, and it was first published as Das Mädchen unter der Lantern.
Catchy.
Yep, which means the girl under the lantern. It's just a love song, basically. And Lili Marleen is just a girl under a lantern.
Oh, but how romantic.
The troops loved it because it had that sort of yearning sound, if you like.
Yeah, you know. I get you. Because they were all away from their,
precisely,
their people.
Precisely. Marlene Dietrich, she moved to the States in the 1930s, around about the same time as Billy Wilder and several other Germans. And during the war, she became an American citizen, renounced her German citizenship.
I should think so.
And did help Jews and various dissidents to escape from Germany. It was strongly rumoured she was bisexual, which was sort of ahead of its time in the 40s and 50s. She carried on making films right through till the early 60s.
Wow.
Really, yeah.
Big long career.
Big, long career, and that is probably her biggest hit ever, I would have said.
It's fantastic. Really?
She also did a version of Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Do you know that song, folk song? Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Oh.
If German, I say yes, will you not sing ever again?
In the German version, it's Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind.
Again, so catchy. So my song is by Cirque. And it's called Everybody Loves You.
Everybody loves you. Not me, no way. I don't work that way. Cause I was built from concrete. Cause I don't hurt no more. Cause I've been getting no sleep. What's it all for?
Soak, what do you tell me about Soak?
Soak is the girl. She's called Birdie Mons Watson.
It's just one person, is it?
Just one, yeah, just one girl. She was born in Derry in 1996. And Soak's music has been described as a vivid portrait of teenage deep thinking, right, by The Guardian. She released her debut studio album, Before We Forgot How to Dream, in May 2015. This came out on October 2nd, that's definite. And it's her first thing out since her debut album.
Good. Oh, it's good. It's nice. And is she popular?
Not really, but she gets quite a lot of hits on, like, Spotify. Hits, views, listens. She's not really, really famous, but she's quite like Radio 6 music.
I've got some bad news for you, Ruthie, and this is a headline from The Times.
Mm-hmm.
It's not funny. Dad jokes are back in fashion. Apparently as a reaction against a lot of the stuff on Twitter and on social media, which is quite nasty and critical, etc.
Yeah.
Just gentle little dad jokes. There's a couple
That's probably why Strictly Come Dancing and Great British Bake Off. I kind of had something about this, but it was part of my circle section and it didn't really fit, so I've not said it. But this seems like
ahead.
A good opportunity,
go
so I'll go for it. So basically, they were saying that the nicest people on the circle did the best because they were nice, and people actually do like nice people. And if you look at like Strictly Come Dancing and Bake Off, they've got more and more popular because, for the most part, excusing Sean Walsh's yeah, kiss gate, the people are nice people and we just like nice people. And
it's
kind of like,
it?
I think it's almost as a rebuke of what we talk about a lot of this very anxious time we're living in, that we just like to watch nice people dance and nice people bake.
Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of like, we just want to hear nice, funny, innocent jerks.
Do you know, this is almost exactly what I was saying on Hawksby and Jacobs on Talk Sport. I was talking about quiz shows, and if you go back maybe three...
It's highbrow sports stuff there.
Maybe three or four years. You've got people like Anne Robinson on quiz shows, mm-hmm. who was always very rude and sarcastic to that, and that became very popular. Now you've got people like Alexandra
Bradley.
Bradley Walsh.
And I love Bradley Walsh. I think he's so funny.
And Alexandra Armstrong, mm. who are almost exaggeratedly nice to the contestants.
Yeah, even when they're rubbish, they're still
even when they're rubbish,
really great effort. Like, I'm sure you've given it,
Precisely. And Alexandra Armstrong, so, you know, two people have just given a ridiculous answer and got knocked out. And he says, well, you're great contestants. I'm sure you'll do much better next time. And I always think, no, they won't. They thought Brad Pitt was in Star Wars. There's no way. They're morons. They're not going to do better next time.
I don't think thinking Brad Pitt's in Star Wars makes you a moron.
The other point I was making about quiz shows on the TV is that it's almost refreshing now when you get a host who's a bit snarky. Like Warwick Davis, who does Tenable on... I know I'm watching too much daytime TV, but Warwick Davis, who does Tenable on ITV...
Warwick Davis? I didn't realise it was Warwick Davis.
Yeah, Warwick Davis is the little chap.
You definitely cannot say little...
Little people.
Yeah, a little person is fine, but you can't call someone a little chap because that makes you think of like a little bowler hat and stuff.
The small, height-restricted man.
No, just the little person.
All right, little person.
Or dwarf. Dwarfism?
With
dwarfism, I thought you could say.
No, I'm not sure whether that is... You know, some people are of restricted height for various reasons. I don't think it's always dwarfism.
I know the one that they say on the TV programmes, you know, like Little Women Atlanta, which is about... little people from Atlanta. They're just women. It's just about their lives.
I've never heard that. What,
they're all in different places. They're like little people, Little Women. I think it's Little Women.
Did you switch it on initially thinking it was Louisa M. Alcott?
No, but just...
So it's Little Women from Atlanta.
Little Women Atlanta. But I think they've got the mother... They've got like Little Women California. Little Women TLC. I've not watched it, but I just see it trailed sometimes.
Warwick Davis, he's a little person, and he does this show called Tenable. And he can be a bit snarky, and it's really refreshing. He had someone last week, and he said, you know, what are your hobbies? And the guy says, oh, I run marathons. I've run the London Marathon. And he said, what time did you do? And he said, oh, 5 1/4 hours. And Warwick Davis said, well, you're wearing a big heavy costume, which I rather liked. Anyway, dad jokes are back in fashion. It's not funny. Dad jokes are back in fashion. For the same reason.
It's not funny.
No.
True.
Well, I'll tell you some of the jokes, and you tell me how funny these are.
I like a dad joke.
What do you call a flirty philosopher?
Flirty philosopher.
Socrates.
Funny.
That's a cracker joke, isn't it, really?
What dad jokes are, though.
This is on the Reddit discussion website. Jokes that make you laugh and cringe in equal measure, it says. At work, we have a printer. We've nicknamed it Bob Marley because it's always jamming. But I thought I'd, you know, just so you're not so critical of my jokes.
No. I've got nothing against a dad joke. Because they're just, like, not funny, but you know they're
just
not funny.
Your dad that you've got.
Exactly.
Your very own dad. Your dad who helped bring you into the world. Although, of course, didn't go through all the blood and the vomit and the amniotic fluid.
Well, you didn't. That's what I'm just...
No.
It's true, though. Men shouldn't try and take credit.
No. But, you know, I can take credit for all the years afterwards.
Yeah. The last sort of 3 years, I've been pretty much fending for myself.
You say that. I wondered what you thought, Ruth, of Winston Churchill.
He was sexist.
Hmm?
He was in World War II.
Yes.
He was a conservative.
Hmm?
He had a pipe.
Cigar.
He led us to victory.
Against you-know-who.
That's it. That's all I've got. Right. Oh, Gary Oldman played him in the film.
I'm not talking about it as a film. I'm talking about Churchill.
Yeah, but it's based on the film, right? Winston Churchill, based on the film.
That's right, yes, totally based on the film. So, Winston Churchill, he's now become a sort of cause célèbre, if you like. He's now become an issue. A retired American astronaut has had to apologise. He says you always have to come out and apologise for praising Winston Churchill, quotes, as one of the greatest leaders of modern times. He got absolute pelters on social media for this. He's a guy called Scott Kelly, who's commanded three expeditions to the International Space Station. Churchill is held responsible by some people for the severity of a famine in 1943, in which more than 2 million died in the Bengal province of what was then British India. He gets a lot of flack about Britain's colonial history in India.
Yeah.
After receiving a
He wasn't exactly against colonialism, was he?
Not at all. After receiving a slew of critical comments, the astronaut had to apologise, saying Churchill had racist views and was responsible for atrocities. Christina Hoff Sommers, an American academic, replied in support of the astronaut. "Please don't apologise," she said. "Winston Churchill, like all of us, had serious human failings, but unlike most of us, he possessed genuine greatness, and that greatness may have saved freedom and democracy. Ask the Twitter scolds to name a hero or heroine who didn't have serious flaws, etc." Churchill, as we know, was Prime Minister from 1940 to 1945.
And then later, in
51 to 55. Yeah, he was Prime Minister again. Topped a BBC poll in 2002 and was named Greatest Briton of all time. However, some historians have said that hundreds of British and Allied ships were sunk in the Indian Ocean in early 1943, and that Churchill sort of diverted food to the British troops that might have saved... Basically, a lot of things. You can pull out lots of quotes that Churchill said about the people that we ruled in the colonies and paint him as a racist, which... He undoubtedly was, but in the values of, you know...
He's a product of his time.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's very hard to... I mean, I object to all these statues being pulled down and, you know, protests
But then
about,
also, I don't know, I really still don't know where I sit on this, because it's like, you shouldn't glorify people who were...
I think Churchill's one of the few people you can
glorify. Yeah, you can. But then I've studied a bit of World War One, like, not in detail, but I have studied a bit of it, and it was so, like... touch and go whether we were going to win. Like, surprisingly, it really could have gone either way. You know, when you talk about,
World
like...
World War Two, sorry. World War Two, yeah.
Sorry, guys.
World War One...
Slip of the tongue.
Also could have gone either way.
Yeah, but World War Two, even more so, probably. World War Two really could have gone either way. Mm. You could argue that stuff that he did didn't affect the winning of it that much.
Well, you could argue that you would be wrong in that if you listen to some of the sort of BBC archives... It was touch and go whether America would join in with us in the war. And it was clearly the fact that America, with all their resources, joined
they
in
won
on
it
our side.
For us, yeah.
They didn't win it for us.
No, not
they
for
did
us.
It in some movies they did, but in real life, it was their participation which helped speed the end of the war. If you listen to some of the speeches that Churchill gave, he gave a great one to the Canadian Parliament, actually. He went over to Canada, but the message was aimed at America. And he said that Hitler has said... This was when the Germans were really on top, Battle of Britain, you know, Dunkirk that, right? So the Germans were really on top. And Hitler said, "We're going to wring the neck of the British like a chicken. We're going to wring the neck of the British like a chicken." Churchill went over, gave a speech in the Canadian Parliament, which his punchline that he finished with was, "Some chicken, some neck."
I've heard that.
Sort of speeches that he gave.
That rouse people. Yeah, I understand that. But you can't excuse everyone just because they're a product of their time. Do you know what I mean?
No, but the same way, really, I've talked about historical abuse in some way. That, you know, the further you go back into, and we talked about Kavanaugh last week, the further you go back, the harder it is to get to an absolute truth. You get an impression...
Kavanaugh, who, despite our... best efforts.
Unbelievable,
has
isn't
been
it?
Elected.
America ignored the podcast. I mean, we've put it out there so it goes all over the world, and America still...
Let's not talk about that, because it's just there's nothing you can do about it now.
No. But what I'm saying is, the further you go back, the harder it is to get to any absolute truth.
Okay, so maybe, yes, you should still be able to quote him. Yes, there should be still pictures of him. And you can still say he
and there should be statues.
Won the war and there should be statues and whatever. Whether you're ignoring it by saying that Churchill was just a racist and not a great military commander, or by saying that he wasn't a racist. You can't do either. You have to take both of them and you have to look at them as separate things.
Yes. Well, you're short of quirk this week. How are we doing for memes?
What do you mean, quirk?
Short, shorter quote.
Oh, at the beginning, I thought you meant throughout the whole podcast. I've got a meme.
You've got a meme, good.
It's a picture of, if you've seen Toy Story 3, which
great.
You have,
that's,
great
that's
film.
The one.
Do you know Barbie in Toy Story 3?
Yeah,
a great feminist icon. When they're having the argument and stuff, and Lotso of the bear is like basically got a dictatorship, because it's kind of an allegory
it
for
is,
Stalinist
yes,
Russia.
Yes, it is.
And it's a picture of Barbie saying two things, and it just says, so she's saying, authority should derive from the consent of the governed, not from the threat of force, and it's got the picture of Barbie. And then someone's just commenting on it, Barbie spitting relevant shit.
So, Ruthie, let's do our housekeeping with the address, if you want to send us an email, and how much do we love to get emails?
And our PO box is...
How much do we love to get emails?
Lots.
Martin heaps. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. So martinandruthpodcast, all one word, martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. Meanwhile, if you want the music, including Talking
music,
Heads, Talking Heads will be on there.
Talking Heads and all the music from all the weeks that we've been doing the music.
And not just the 20 seconds, the full tracks.
Then you can find them on Spotify. You can either search Martin and Ruth or Ruthie, Me and My Dad. And both of those will get you to us.
Excellent. So that'll do it for this week, will it?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to say goodbye, farewell.
Goodbye.
Just to make sure people know it's finished.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.